Our scripture reading today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, verses 11 through 24. Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me.' So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they begin to celebrate."
This is the lectionary passage for today. It's about Jesus making his way back to Jerusalem. Jesus was a storyteller. A dreamer of dreams, a healer of hurts and hearts, a bringer of hope, and somehow a threat to both the Jewish temple and the Roman Empire. He was, in a word, dangerous. The Jewish people, you see, were aching for a Messiah. They were aching for a kingly Messiah in the line, in the Davidic line of warrior kings. They were hoping for redemption that way, that their Messiah would be both prophet and warrior. What they got was someone way below their expectations, yet so much more than they could possibly have dreamed. Because before long, at the end of his journey, when the trial was over, he had been beaten and scourged, and they were given one last chance to free him. Who did the crowd ask for? "Give us. Give us." Wow. And crucify this Jesus. While we in this holy season seek to draw closer to this storyteller, this dreamer of dreams, this healer of hurts and hearts and bringer of hope, the Son of Man, the Son of God. That's what we're about in this season, perhaps more than any other. And today we look at one of his stories or parables. Everyone on the planet has heard of the Good Samaritan and the prodigal son, have they not? Because of the stories that this Jesus told to a few followers. Let's look at the prodigal story to perhaps gain a little bit of new insight into ourselves. You have heard my prodigal story. I won't give you details. For those that you don't know, I was able to squander my fortune in the oil patch in South Texas and a river of whiskey. The good news is, I also came to my senses. The younger son was bored with life. He was certainly bored with the farm. He was probably fed up with his big brother telling him what to do and the self-righteousness of his religious father. Oh, I know father is kind, but he is so. The younger son was bored and he yearned for the excitement in the big city. If it were set in a movie today, he might yearn to leave Monahan's for the excitement in New Orleans or Houston or Amarillo. I'm sorry, my West Texas cousins, I apologize. No, I don't. No. And he lost himself. He lost his way. And at one time or another, we have all felt some extent of that prodigal's disenchantment and lostness. It may be accompanied with the phrase, what now? What now? He came to his senses. I love that one sentence. He came to his senses. He was in the pigsty and he couldn't eat the pig food because the boss wouldn't let him. If you've ever known anyone who has sunk lower than that, let me know. They will make my sermon illustration list. In his long, dark night of the soul came a single moment of clarity. I can't be my father's son anymore, but the hired hands live a lot better than I do. Perhaps, just perhaps, he'll let me be a worker. And he made what was a courageous decision. I think you will admit this. He had probably been a coward up until that time of clarity. But he made a courageous decision to go home. His humility won over. He had been prideful and arrogant, and now he wasn't. And he went home. What about Daddy? What about his father? His father was full of forgiveness, was he not? And what state was the son in? Finally, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. It was just like that for him. Why that song? Why that song? John Newton wrote it. Most of you know the story of John Newton. He was a slaver. He was captain or an officer on a slave ship. And sooner or later, he came to his senses. He wrote this not as a song. The tune was much later. He wrote it as a poem. as he became a rector in the Church of England. How do we go about that transition? First of all, we must be able to accept the forgiveness when it is offered, must we not? When we come to our senses, hopefully for you as it was for me, the pride falls away. The youngest son was no longer so anxious to take advantage of his father. He was in that, what we call, teachable moment. And he was able to do something else very important, or at least we assume he did with the story. He was able to let the past be the past. So often we are tempted to load it up, put it in a box, and take it with us. Silly humans that we are. He was able to let go. As the father was he not? He was able to let go of the past, the fact that his younger son had spent a bucket load of his money. And then what happened? A celebration. A celebration. The ring, the robe, the fatted calf, all for the younger son. Sometimes, when people come into the church for the first time in a long time, they are seeking what the prodigal son sought. Forgiveness, letting the past go, and a celebration of this present moment. Or in other words, grace. It is our job to welcome each person with arms wide open. Our job is to represent the love of God to all who enter here. The rest of this story is sad, we know. It's about the older brother. The older brother would have nothing to do with his younger brother. In fact, when he talked to his father about him, he didn't say his younger brother. He said, "This son of yours has wasted all. And here I've been all of these years." Remember when John was reading that passage? "I've been here all these years. I've done everything that you possibly could have asked. And this is what I get. This wastrel comes home and you bring him the ring and the robe and the fatted calf. You never even gave me a pot of lamb stew." He was bitter. He was resentful. And most importantly, I think for the lesson, is that he was full of self-righteous indignation because he knew that what he said was true. It was so true, wasn't it? It was. The younger brother did all those things. But it was the self-righteous indignation that got him. Well, he boycotted the celebration for his brother. And Jesus in this story leaves us hanging. We don't know what happened to the older brother, do we? Is it too late to send up a prayer for him? I think not. This is a cautionary tale. Don't be the big brother in this story. If you at this moment are full of righteous indignation about anything, and the operative word here is righteous. If you're full of indignation and you're wrong, well, too bad. But if you know that you are right and you are full of indignation, this story is for you. What did Jesus tell those who were thinking like that to do? Don't you show up at church. Before you show up at church with your gift in hand, you drop your gift on the altar and do what? Go and be reconciled. If you're that person now, do that today before you go home. Leave your gift at the altar and go be reconciled. The parable of the prodigal son speaks to us so poignantly because we have all been in the position of the forgiver, of the forgiven, and of the not yet decided. Haven't we? Life is, well, complicated. Welcoming God's grace and passing it on can simplify our lives wonderfully. Amen. Let's stand and sing a song of invitation. I love to tell the story.